This is Intersection. I'm Matthew Petty. Wanda Vasquez, Puerto Rico's former Justice Secretary, was sworn in as governor of the island last week, bringing some stability after weeks of protests that prompted the exit of former Governor Ricardo Rosselló. The question now is whether she can placate residents frustrated and angry with Puerto Rico's leadership, with political corruption, and with the slow pace of recovery after Hurricane Maria. I talked to Miami Herald reporter Bianca Padro Ocasio, who went to Puerto Rico to cover the protests.
It was several weeks of protests to ask for Ricardo Rosselló to step down. After that happened, he named a Secretary of State who was confirmed by only one of the legislative chambers on the island. And he was functioning as governor for several days before the Supreme Court of Puerto Rico ruled that his governorship or his leadership was unconstitutional. So when that happened, that same day at 5 p.m., he stepped down and Wanda Vasquez was sworn in. And there were rumors that she might resign. You might remember right after Ricardo Rosselló was set to resign, she said that she would not become governor. She was not interested. But then she kind of stepped back from that and said that she would. So there were some rumors until she went out on local media and she said that she would assume her constitutional responsibility. And right now she's governor and she is the third one in the span of about a week, which is unprecedented in Puerto Rico, aside from the resignation of Rosselló, who also became the only governor in Puerto Rico's history to step down.
Do you think, based on what you've heard from people in Puerto Rico and I guess some people who might have sort of headed back to Puerto Rico just to see what was going on and take part in those protests in the last few weeks, do you get the sense, Bianca, that Wanda Vasquez does have an opportunity to build up a little bit of political capital and show Puerto Ricans that she can be genuine and help kind of rebuild some of that trust in government? Or is she starting from a pretty big disadvantage already?
It's interesting because right after Rosselló stepped down and there were some rumors that Wanda Vasquez would be the next person, even though, you know, it took Pierluisi and then it was her turn. But people were still feeling like, you know, she's part of that same Rosselló club. She's part of that same, you know, group of people who are corrupt and who, you know, make fun of our people and that kind of thing. And there were some reports that she had refused to investigate the distribution of aid after the hurricane. There were some irregularities with how certain shipments of aid was being transported and, you know, being distributed to the people. And she refused to investigate some of those things. And when that became public, as this turmoil is ongoing, you know, people felt, why should we trust this person? Why should she become governor if she refused to do these things? And right after she was sworn in, she went on a local media tour and talked about how she was not a politician, how she had come into this as a person whose, you know, constitutional duty it is to be there, how she was not elected by the people. And she understands that, but she projected and suggested this image of someone who wants to stay there and wants to stay in power and do what she can to improve the credibility and the trust among people and also with the federal government. And, you know, as you might know and some people know, that Puerto Rico right now is also under the oversight of a fiscal control board that pretty much supervises and regulates the budget for the island and all of its finances. And a lot of people argue that this board has too much power, but Wanda Vasquez as governor does have some challenges. Under Ricardo Rosselló, he had a very contentious and adversarial relationship with that board. So we'll see how Wanda Vasquez handles that. But I think people feel a little more calm with the swearing in of Wanda Vasquez. But I don't think at all that people feel that this is the end of it. I think that they feel they need, you know, an elected leader. They need someone who is new, who is bringing something new to the table that is not close to Rosselló, that does not bring this political baggage.
What about Jennifer González then? I mean, she is Puerto Rico's representative to Capitol Hill, right? But does she have a different role to play in this new administration under the leadership of Governor Vasquez?
Yeah, so Jennifer González, she's the non-voting representative for Puerto Rico in Washington, D.C., and she said that she wanted to stay away and you know, kind of looking from the margins at everything, at the controversy and the you know, the ongoing turmoil in Puerto Rico. But of course, she had to be responding to senators and representatives about, you know, what is going on in Puerto Rico and why is this revolving door, you know, of governors going on. She is of the same party as Rosselló, but there are some rumors, and she actually said that she would be willing to be sworn in and being confirmed as Secretary of State. And if Wanda Vasquez wanted to step down, she would be willing to be governor. And she is being backed by the president of the Senate on the island, Tomás Rivera Schatz. He's one of the most powerful politicians on the island, has been reelected several times to his position. So this is Jennifer González kind of rises as potential replacement to Wanda Vasquez if Wanda Vasquez were to step down. Mm-hmm. But this is not something that Governor Vasquez has said that she is going to do. So last week there was a press conference that Jennifer González held with the Senate President Rivera Schatz, and they essentially suggested that she would be the right person for the job. And that's kind of the image that they wanted to show. And these are people who are all from the same party as the current governor, who is refusing to say that she's going to step down. So, of course, there's in the backdrop of this entire turmoil is the problems that the party in power, which is the pro-statehood New Progressive Party, is facing. And it's kind of been imploding. So it'll be interesting to see if, you know, there's this kind of push and pull of power within that own party. And while that is happening, the rest of Puerto Ricans are the ones that are being affected.
What was it like for you, Bianca, going to Puerto Rico and seeing the protests and seeing Governor Rosselló step down as a result of those protests? I wonder if you, Quina, were able to sort of take off your reporter hat for a while and just reflect on what this actually means for Puerto Rico.
So it was interesting to hear people. I'm Puerto Rican, so I, you know, it was shocking to me to see how many people consistently showed up for protests, because this is not something that's part of the culture in Puerto Rico, to go out and to protest. And it was surprising to me, and it impressed me how eloquent people were about their anger and how, you know, they really felt that this was overdue. And it kind of was catapulted by young people, you know, talking about how they're sick of the same two parties that are in power. But I could also hear, you know, their parents' generation, their grandparents' generation talk about how it was necessary to have this explosion of, you know, of anger that in large part was really due to the frustrations after Hurricane Maria. A lot of people lost family members, lost friends due to the, you know, late response on the, you know, fraud and response that was frankly lacking from the local and federal government. So this is not something that just came out of nowhere, but it was a combination of circumstances and in large part was led by young people, but it really just spread throughout the island and throughout, you know, communities of Puerto Ricans all over the U.S. and the world. So that was really powerful to see. And another part of it is just the fact that there's this idea that Puerto Ricans, you know, they vote every 4 years, and that's kind of their participation in democracy. But these protests that were ongoing for about 2 weeks, I think really awakened that consciousness in Puerto Ricans of, you know, we have other ways to demand change. It doesn't have to happen every 4 years. It can happen, you know, when we're unhappy with the way that things are going, when we feel disrespected. And that's something that I kept hearing a lot, people talking about dignity and respect, how the governor's chat that was leaked, those 889 pages of a Telegram chat, were just disrespectful, and that's, you know, Puerto Ricans felt embarrassed that this is how our leaders are talking. That's not how we talk. That's not how we present ourselves to the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. So it was just really powerful for me to see that, and to see that this all happened peacefully. I mean, yes, there were certain violent confrontations with police, but it was, you know, almost 2 full weeks of peaceful protesting in different ways. I saw people in kayaks, underwater scuba diving, on jet skis, people in wheelchairs, you know, going through the cobblestone streets of San Juan. There was music, there was dance, there was just in every area of life, people found a way to protest and to ask for Riquito Sello to resign. So that's another thing that a lot of people are wondering is, you know, are these protests going to continue? Will they happen again? It was just a very historic moment that was not seen before on the island.
Do you think that the protests and the ouster of Governor Rocio and you know, whatever takes shape out of this new leadership that Wanda Vasquez will have to assemble, does it breathe new life in any way into calls from some quarters in Puerto Rico for either statehood or independence?
That's a good question. The party that's in power right now, it's the pro-statehood party. I think there's a sense among a lot of Puerto Ricans that regardless of the status, the parties that have always, you know, historically been in power, the statehood and the pro-status quo, or, you know, in favor of the current territorial status, that these parties are broken. And regardless of, you know, the status, I've met, you know, people who want all of these pro-statehood leaders to step down, and they support statehood. So it's almost, you know, an idea of political status that transcends these parties. And especially with younger people, you can no longer define whether a person is, you know, Republican or Democrat, and, you know, whether they support statehood, and does that make them a Democrat or a Republican. Those lines just don't exist. I think in general, there was a widespread desire for the current political system to change. So we'll have to see. I mean, in the next elections, Puerto Rico has always voted based on status. Mm-hmm. And what political status they support. But in the next election, it could be minority independent candidate that gets a good chunk of the vote. So this is something that will definitely have an impact on the island's political system for years to come.
And I'm wondering, too, also, I mean, obviously politicians in the mainland United States, particularly in Florida, whether it's Central Florida or elsewhere, South Florida, they do pay attention to Puerto Rico, but it tends to be on a cyclical basis, right, depending on which votes they are courting and which election it is. Given what's happening in Puerto Rico right now, does that suggest to you that people in the mainland United States should be paying more attention to Puerto Rico? Are there things that people need to be paying attention to that they aren't?
Absolutely. And I think that with the big population of Puerto Ricans that live not just in Central Florida, but, you know, in South Florida and in New York, I think I saw so many people who were traveling to Puerto Rico just to go to the protests. And those links that you have in the Puerto Rican community in particular, because Puerto Ricans are not necessarily immigrants, so they travel often back and forth from the island to the mainland. They live for several years on the mainland, and they go back, and they go back and forth. So those connections are so strong and so, they endure, you know, every political cycle, Puerto Ricans still feel connected to the island and connected to their roots and their identity. So I think it's important for people to understand who their neighbors are, that there's a large Puerto Rican community in Florida, there's a large Puerto Rican community in other states in the U.S., and these issues need to be paid attention to, just in the same way that we pay attention to policy in Venezuela or policy in Cuba. This is something that affects everyday Puerto Ricans and their families. I live in Miami, but my entire family is in Puerto Rico. I hear from them every day about what's going on, what's the new conversation on the island. So these are things that won't go away. And even as the news kind of fades in the mainstream media, the attention for Puerto Ricans is going to stay there.
Well, Bianca Padre Ocasio, a reporter with the Miami Herald, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Still to come, how community partnership schools can foster success by promoting more than just academic well-being. Intersections back in a minute.